First Baptist Kenai. Again, we're coming to you from the armchair as we are trying to just have a discussion for Wednesday night. And I want to encourage you guys as you're gathering your family with your family and your friends, whether you're doing it virtually or in the living room with your family. We encourage you guys to stay healthy and stay safe and stay connected. There's a ton of things that can be said, a ton of things that we can be encouraged. But one thing we need to do is continually pray for each other. The ones we see, the ones that we hear about, the ones we are following on Facebook, and the ones that we're not. Continue to pray for the businesses and the community, and those that are not able to be communicated with in our community, and those that are just struggling. At this time, more than ever, the light of Jesus Christ needs to reign supreme, and the hope that he has to offer needs to be presented in a clear, no-nonsense way. So I've been giving a lot of thought to how and what we should be studying on Wednesday. I know we've gone through a couple different studies. We've looked at a few different things. And ultimately, I just want to give you guys the tools necessary to do the kind of study you need for yourself at home. And yesterday I put up three back-to-back videos. They're intended to be watched separately and digested as you are going through your own study, as you're looking up what it means to be a follower of Christ. I definitely encourage you guys to use some of those techniques in studying Scripture. The inductive technique of Bible study is definitely something that you should do. And so today I'm going to try to do just a short video rather than go into a long teaching time. I really want to give you some basics so that you can begin to study on your own. And so one of the things that I thought that we could do was look at the book of 1 Peter. I know that I have personally preached on this a few times. And so you guys have heard me speak about this. If you've been to some of our sermons and heard me preach, then you know that we've had, some good discussions on this. So I'm not going to add anything super new. But one of the things I am going to do is add a list of questions to the comment section that you can go over with on your own. And that way you can have an opportunity to, I guess, study this at your leisure when you're not so much watching the video or trying to cram in. Because sometimes we can get too focused on watching the video and not really paying attention to what God's trying to teach us in this. So, so part of it, I just wanted to give you guys some tools necessary. So I won't go any more detail into that other than to say that that I'm just going to lay the groundwork and you guys can go from there. So just to start off with, looking at the book of 1 Peter, the reason why I think it's relevant is that Peter was writing primarily to a group of individuals that were struggling. And they were in the beginning stages of persecution. It wasn't state-sanctioned persecution. It was persecution that came through just misunderstandings. It was through discrimination and mistreatment for Christians in general. But it wasn't specifically aimed at, from the state, from the government. And so that's important to recognize when looking at this, is that part of what we're going through now in this time of quarantine, although a lot of people don't see it as persecution, some people can. And I think that it's incredibly amazing to me how in just a few short minutes we have gone from being able to meet openly with no problem at all to having to hunker down and do this digitally and not be able to see each other face to face anymore. This is kind of a scary, slippery slope. So just one of the reasons why I think that 1 Peter is very relevant to us. So as we're looking at that, and as we're thinking about what God has wanted us to know, we can look at 1 Peter. We can realize that 1 Peter obviously was written by the Apostle Peter. It was written about between 62 and 63 AD. So it was right before Nero started to persecute Christians in specific targeting the Christians. And so Christianity wasn't illegal yet, but there was a lot of gray areas there, and there was the Jews were really stirring a lot of problems up for the church at the time. And so the intended audience was likely the new converts, the Gentile converts to God, the new folks that have been brought into the faith, and because of that, they've now become in many ways disenfranchised and discriminated against and mistreated in their communities. And Peter wanted to remind them that that their home is not on earth, but it is in heaven, their ultimate home. So the purpose of the letter was to stand, have the encouraged believers to stand fast, to endure the suffering of the present age. Some theologians have said that the letter was intended to strengthen the readers in the now of their suffering and persecution by assuring them that future glory will transform their present condition. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking of a relatively wise individual, one of the wiser people I know. He was actually quoting somebody he considers wiser than himself. And he said, in life, we should always try to advance ourselves personally, professionally, everything, all the way around. We should always try to advance ourselves. And if we can better ourselves even 1% every day, at the end of the year, we will have bettered ourselves over 300%. So if you think about that, when you start studying Scripture and start looking for these new things and thinking about what Peter was trying to teach the churches he was writing to, was the idea that while we're dealing with the suffering of the now, we need to remember that this is going to help us incrementally get ready for the next stage, the next level, and that would be our entrance into heaven. So what we're going through now is an essential part of that. And so in light of that, I'm just going to go through the first couple, three verses, actually the first two verses, 1 Peter, and I'll let you guys continue on and study the first 12 verses on your own. So the first two verses, I'm just going to read them to you really quickly, and so that way you guys can, we can mill it over a little bit in the next few minutes. So Peter's writing this in chapter 1, 1 Peter, first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ by sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. So yesterday, when I was talking to you guys about inductive Bible studies, one of the things that I suggested doing was pulling out some keywords and finding out what is it actually saying. Let's just look at the actual words, and sometimes it's important to do that. So I actually have a list that I'll be putting up on a graphic for you guys of just a few words that I think that you need to look at. One of the words is obedience. Another word is sojourner or pilgrim, depending upon the version that you're reading. Dispersion, the scattered, foreknowledge, the elect or the chosen, the Spirit, and another word, I think one important word, is sanctification. These are just some of the words that are just very profound in the first chapter that Peter is trying to bring out to the folks that are listening. There's just a ton of information there that you can look at. And I'm going to give you just a tidbit and then let you go from there. And I have some, like I said, some questions that I'll post in the comments in the YouTube page and hopefully on Facebook if I can, so that you guys can see some questions to begin to ask yourselves. And there are no right or wrong answers per se. These are just questions that you should be asking as you're reading the first 12 verses in Peter's first epistle. So the one thing, a couple tidbits as you look at those questions and those words that that I pulled out. And there's other words, too, you can pull out. Those are just some of the ones I pulled out that I thought were useful to know. But notice this. In the second verse, it says, according to the foreknowledge, that word foreknowledge in Greek is prognosis. It's the same thing we get in dealing with prognosis. What's your prognosis from the doctor? Things like that. And so it's that foreknowledge. But look where it says. It says, the foreknowledge of God, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, and the obedience of Jesus Christ. So what you see here is a threefold operation of the Trinity that's working. You have God that has gone behind us. You have the Spirit that dwells within us, and you have Christ that goes before us. Now, what does that mean? About this? So it says, according to the foreknowledge, that means God knew before we were born. And so he's behind us with all that knowledge. When we accept Christ as our Savior, his Spirit dwells within us and begins the work of sanctification. So he's behind us with his foreknowledge. He's within us, sanctifying us, making us righteous, making us holy, day by day, progressively, as we move through our walk in the pilgrimage that we are going through with Christ. And then, and Jesus Christ sprinkled by sprinkling with his blood. So this is an echo of Exodus chapter 24, verses 5 through 6. The idea that the high priest, which according to Hebrews, Jesus is our perfect and best and phenomenal high priest who went before us into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood. And if you read Exodus 24, verses 5 and 6, you can see what Moses did when they first were sanctifying the temple. He took the blood from the sacrificial animals. He collected it. He sprinkled some of it on the tabernacle, some of it on the implements that go in the tabernacle, on the people that were going to be going in there. So Christ went before us into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood so that we would have a pathway into the Holy of Holies behind him. So we have God behind us, we have the Spirit within us, and we have Jesus in front of us. This is a powerful depiction of the Trinity, and it's really a unique opportunity for us as Christians to begin the process. So I'm going to go ahead and pray in a minute. I'm going to sign off, and I'm going to leave you with some questions along with those list of words that I spoke of. And so that you can begin to look at how God wants you to be able to use the knowledge you're gaining, not just in the first two verses, but the first 12 verses, because there's a ton of information in this first section of Peter. And next week when we come back together, I'll recap the first 12 verses and we'll go on to the next stage. The goal here is not to spoon feed you in this. It's to encourage you to begin to feed yourself. And you'll do that by following some of the techniques that I laid out in those three videos on an inductive Bible study. And honestly, if all you ever do is phase one, where you are investigating just the facts, who, what, when, where, how, then you have done more probably than you normally do in your own Bible study. If you're able to take it to stage two and then to stage three, man, you are miles ahead, and you're on like a higher plane than most Christians actually do in their own study. So I would encourage you to begin to look at the who, what, when, and where. And I'll also include the Greek words along with the words themselves and a little bit of little definition if I can. So and maybe even some other verses you can compare with, so you'll be able to see that. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in. I know it's a short one today, but what I'm trying to do here is not give you 45 minutes of my brain dumping into your lap, and you're like, oh, what do I do with this? It's like drinking from a fire hose. You don't need that. What you need is a quick hit that will encourage and inspire. So I'm hoping that this will encourage and inspire you to dive deeper into God's Word. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here with you right now. Father, we ask you to be with those that are listening to this this study. Help them to take what I've given them and go beyond, much further beyond than anything I've suggested. We love you. We thank you. We ask this now in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, guys, you have a wonderful time and go the rest of this week with God.